Dear Lord, we thank you. We begin with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I pray that you might be with us mightily this morning. Bless every speaker, every comment. Help us to go forward in you, only in you. Show yourself strong in our lives. Help us to do all that's in your heart as we commune with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Last week we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And following what we saw in the Exodus of Moses, how important it is to receive God's word. Not just his word, but his actions. Everything that you see him do. And when we receive it in our heart, that's where we're going to have faith. Yeah. While we're trying to build God's kingdom and bring God's kingdom on earth, because we are the kingdom of God and we're representatives of the kingdom of God. So the only way to do this is to commune with him. That's one thing that Jesus did. He communed with the Father.
Yes, he did.
He came to his own and his own received him not. And they didn't know he was God because he came to them as a man. But he spent time with the Father. Mm-hmm. Even though he was the Son of God, he drew near to the Lord. He got to know the Lord. He had to learn just like we do. He was 100% man.
Yes, he was.
The defining thing about Jesus was he is God, and he had no sin. But God let himself be born just like a baby. He had to learn everything. He had to learn who he was by the scriptures.
Yes.
Just like we do. And he came to his own and they didn't receive him. But there were people that did. There were people that knew. And he operated according to God. Everything starts from communion. The kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. It's with you now. And he said, come and learn of me. And then those that get saved and then go on to learn about the Lord, they can represent it. So, because we come out of a sinful world, God gave us an example. In the Exodus, they had to leave Egypt behind and not look back to it. They kept looking back to it because they kept trusting it. And they kept trusting it because that's what they knew. And they were used to it. They thought God would do like the Pharaoh, you know. And I began to see these things a few years ago, you know, when he gave me the spirit of Egypt back in 2004. And I actually wrote the book in 2011 and had it published in 2012. But the way that they saw Pharaoh and the witchcraft he used, his all of his debauchery, it got in their heart. They saw Pharaoh as a master. And he was just a man, driven by Satan. Mm-hmm. And this kind of pride, it worked against them. Then here comes Moses, a greater than Pharaoh. And so they did everything Moses said do. And they were free. But their expectations, just like us, we have to drive out things. That's why God gave us us. We do these things. He wants us to be aware of it. In 2 Corinthians 6, it shows us how to divide ourselves from the persuasions of the world. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And we can do every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. All we have to do is receive it. If we receive it, it'll come to us in seed form, and then it'll develop into God's perfect will. Now, other people are doing the same thing. And in the church, in any church, even everywhere, there are people who get saved and they're excited and they draw near to the Lord. They draw near to the Lord at home. And the Lord will give them things to do. Now, everybody has something unique to do. As they fellowship with the Lord will develop them in the area he want to use them. And the church, like Mary was saying, we got to recognize the body. We are the body of Christ. Everybody has their own mission. And we work, and as we do that mission, we are operatives to the greater mission of God.
Amen.
So you're going to get a fragment here, a fragment there, another fragment here of God's perfect will. We know in part. But the light that God gives us, the things that he give us to, that he sanctioned us to speak or to share with others, is very important. And it can come through anybody, a child, an older person, a woman, a man, a boy, a girl. And there are times that sometimes people learn things that nobody on earth is going to learn. Not the way that they learned it. But it goes, and it was right here all along. Mm-hmm. The Lord introduced us to fragments of his wisdom. And every time when that happens, we can receive it or reject it. If you receive it, that's like Christ. You humble yourself to God, because who spoke it? The Holy Spirit. He enabled the person to give that sanction, to give that word. Sometimes people struggle to give the revelation out. It's not easy all the time. As we draw near to the Lord, and you know, when a person struggles to give a pray it through. You see it coming, pray it through. They're on to something. they may not be able to do it like Kenneth Hagin, or they may not be able to do it in skill, but it's still the word of God, and it's recognizable. And I have given people words that came straight from God's heart, and when I speak it, people do like that. They look, they want more, and they want, you know, it quickens them. That's the revelation of God.
They recognize that it's coming from God.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I take more of that.
Yeah. And when I was younger, especially when I was younger, they'd be surprised that it came from me. And I'd be just as surprised. I said, wait a minute, this is my mouth, and these are my ears, and I'm hearing my mouth speak this. That's the wonderful works of God. If we yield ourselves, that's where we're powerful. We're not powerful just because we believed on Christ. We're powerful because we yield ourselves to him. And we're building on the foundation that he laid. We become the righteousness of God, and we're an example of that as we yield to the Lord. That's where the power is. Okay, so Paul is dealing with things in 2 Corinthians 6. This is a beautiful chapter. I started verse 11. He said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, unto you. Our heart is enlarged. He wants to be a blessing. He knows, he sees that potential as a lead. See, when you're doing a work, you got to have faith for that work. He had it. His heart was enlarged. Their hearts were enlarged. He said, our heart is enlarged. They had faith toward the Corinthians. They could see the Corinthians doing what they were doing. You have to have faith in what you're doing. You have to have faith in God's people that they will hear, that they will receive. You can confess this. And if you believe it in their sight, they'll believe it. If you doubt them, if you doubt against them, doubt is always antichrist. If you doubt against somebody, you'll never see that potential. You have to believe in your children. You have to believe even when things go wrong, you still got you trust God's word on their life. He said, ye are not straitened in us. Now straitened, that's terrible lack. But you're straitened in your own bowels. That's where the lack is coming from. The misunderstanding of the world. And he said, and those things have to be dealt with. Now for a recompense in the same, a repayment in the same, I speak unto you as my children. Be ye also enlarged. Fill your heart with God's word, his faith. Receive it. And you'll have this. Receiving God's word is communion. Asking him your questions to get more is communion. Receiving what he say to you when you wasn't even praying, when you were just going about your own business, and then the word of the Lord come to you. Now those times are very important. If you're faithful with that, God's going to trust you to do more. God trusts us like we trust him. As we receive his word, we become trustworthy in his sight. And then he'll give up. When he gives you something, he's sanctioning you for something greater. And it's very important that you finish that work.
Amen.
And if you don't...
It's really good there because he says heart. And whenever I read this particular passage, I think heart with emotions. You know, open up your affections, your emotions. But in reality, this word heart was used in those days by being the deep part of you. It includes your emotions, but also includes your deep thoughts, things. He says, I even shared my deep thoughts with you.
Yeah.
You know, all of my fears, all of my, all my joys.
Mm-hmm.
All of my deep thoughts. I didn't hold anything back.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hold anything back. And he says, you need to do the same.
Yeah.
You need to open up and receive this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because I just, when I thought about, the further meaning of what a heart is,
mm-hmm.
How they use it here, it really helps a lot to understand this.
Yeah.
The ways you were pointing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Passion Translation kind of opens that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than the King James Version does.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And like, when we receive something and people are receptive to it, the Holy Spirit is going to automatically, and he knows who's hungry, and he's going to automatically feed those through you. It'll happen at the most unusual times. You may not even be thinking about the Lord. You may be thinking about something else. And when a person comes around, the Lord just put it in your heart what to say. And also, to help us with the war of this world, our faults, confess them before men, confess them before believers, because then you got a prayer network. Just like if you're sick, let people know so they can start praying.
Amen.
They'll help you fight.
Amen.
I'll stop with verse 14. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? So when God, we have no fellowship with the devil, or his ways, or his thoughts, or his Egyptian thoughts, or his worldly thoughts, the past thoughts. But we're driving those things away, and that'll help us to clearly see him and receive what he's saying. When this process happens, we become more Christ-like. And in doing so, we become more trustworthy to God. And God he'll sanction us to do greater and greater things. Okay, any comments before we take communion? Again, this is the I love Joseph Prince. This is like an amplified version of the communion scriptures. Page 64. I got to bring my glasses for this book.
I'll get you a
large one. That's good. That's fine. I can read it. He said, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell off your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. I like that word, receive. He said, thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity.
Amen. Let's just say amen and agree.
Amen.
He's saying it, but we got to say something.
Amen.
We're redeemed.
So we are redeemed. I thank the Lord.
Two scriptures from match up with what you're saying from the Amplified Version. It says, this is in Psalms, I was so stupid. I was senseless and ignorant, acting like a brute beast before you, Lord. Yet in spite of all of this, you comfort me by your counsel. You draw me closer to you. You lead me with your secret wisdom, and following you brings me into your brightness and glory.
Amen.
That's my confession, because it was so perfect. The other is on the other end of the spectrum. I am convinced that every detail of my life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into my life.
Yeah.
For I am his lover who has been called to fulfill his design purposes.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
And on one end, brute beast, on the other, we're woven into that tapestry, that beautiful tapestry.
I like that word, secret wisdom. It's just, you know, when you learn something from the Lord, you don't get in pride, you're humble. You see how much more there is to learn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Lord, what's next? Make you want to go sit down and thank God. What you do? Dear Lord, I thank you for communion. It's the most beautiful privilege you've given us. And Lord, help us to go forward in you, receiving all that you have to say, that we may do all that's in your heart, your will for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, he says something that deepens the meaning of humble. If you receive it from the Lord, it humbles yourself to God. I mean, that's an expansion of the word humble. We can have a mental picture, humility and submitting and all. But just receiving it and walking in it is humbling ourselves before God. It's part of the definition.
It is.
I never thought of it that different. That's good. Thank you for sharing that.
Beautiful truths from the Word of God.